I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames.
Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's out this week, and I'm happy to be able to join you behind the mic, and I hope you'll join me by calling 855-752-4842 or text that same number. We're going to be talking about Kamala Harris's great speech last night in Georgia. We'll also take your calls on who you think the vice presidential candidate should be, and where the two of them should go next week when they're coming to Western Wisconsin. Where in Western Wisconsin should they speak? I'm joined, as always, by my buddy Brian Kelly in the booth. Hey, Brian.
Good morning or afternoon. It's now. Congratulations on now.
It's now. My wife's favorite toast when we're out with friends is, here's to right now.
Yeah, because, again, we can think about the past, and that's a nice thing to think about and remember, and we can look towards the future and things, but really, the only time you experience anything is right now.
All we got's right now, and right now it is hot and steamy out there. This is
indeed
summer in Wisconsin. We get a week or two of this every summer, and every summer we complain about it. So there you go.
You know, I'm just warm all the time. So either way, if I'm in the winter time, I sweat I usually don't even wear a winter coat sometimes because I go from the house to the car, then here, and it's just if I put the coat on, it's an extra 5 minutes. Doing so, and then I sweat anyway by the time I get inside. So I'm a Yeti, by the way, just so everyone knows. So don't think that you're like I'm the abnormal one.
I've got a rule on parkas. The parka doesn't come out unless it's below zero. Otherwise, I got just a mid-weight coat. That's all I need.
Do you know how great it is to experience actual cold for me? It's a wonder.
I don't mind the cold as long as I can bundle up and as long as I don't have to drive through a blizzard.
I like doing that.
Oh, God.
I drove the Kangamangas Highway in a blizzard.
Oof.
Now I've gone astray.
Oh, I don't want to be doing that. You won't catch me doing that. Anyway, I want to get to some serious stuff because Kamala Harris, the putative Democratic nominee, and I'm just going to call her the Democratic nominee, enough with the formalities, she is totally hitting her stride. She was amazing in Georgia last night. I listened to the whole speech a couple times. I want us to take a couple clips to share with our audience. Let's play the one many may have heard already, the most famous one about the debate, and then we'll take it from there. This is challenging Trump to show up.
So the momentum in this race is shifting. And there are signs that Donald Trump is feeling it. You may have noticed. So last week, you may have seen, he pulled out of the debate in September he had previously agreed to. So here's the thing. Here's the funny thing about that. So he won't debate, but he and his running mate sure seem to have a lot to say about me. Don't you find some of their stuff to just be plain weird? Well, Donald, I do hope you'll reconsider to meet me on the debate stage. Because as the saying goes, if you've got something to say, say it to my face.
I just love that.
So does the crowd, my friend.
It's nice to hear her having fun.
Yeah, she's no matter how this ends up, she's going to enjoy the heck out of it.
She's having a lot of fun. She's relaxed. She intentionally threw the word of the week out there, weird, so that everyone could resonate with that.
Oh, man, it is working. Here's the thing. They want to frame themselves as what normal is. Like, J.D. Vance has tried to frame all of his family weirdness as this is what normal people do. This is what normal people do. And basically, she's like, who are you to go and say what normal is? That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah. J.D. Vance is self-immolating every day, practically. I loved her Well Donald, too. That was just beautiful. The whole thing was beautiful. You know, the interesting thing about the speech when I heard it the first time was she did the, you know, I know Donald Trump, I know his type thing, which she did in several speeches already. She did it right off the bat, kind of to get rid of that applause line, get a first applause line, and then go into something deeper, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, she hooks him and brings him in, and they listen to it, and it's nice. And then she goes,
well, Donald.
It's just priceless. Hey, if you heard any of Kamala Harris's talk last night, want to mention your views of it, give us a ring, 855-752-4842. The other thing, she did a lot of great things last night, but one of the nice things was her juxtaposition of moving forward and her vision for pushing the country forward, and Donald Trump wanting to take us back, and literally he wants us to take us back to the prior Trump administration and his policies there. But she had a great little riff on that that also got the crowd going. So if you could play that, Brian, that'd be great.
He intends to end the Affordable Care Act. To take us back to a time when insurance companies had the power to deny people with pre-existing conditions. You guys remember what that was? Children with asthma, breast cancer survivors, grandparents with diabetes. Georgia, America has tried these failed policies before, and we are not going back.
That's just awesome.
That's great. That's a lot more positive and joyful than, you know, lock her up and things like that. I like that.
You know, the crowd did get at one point to start saying lock him up. When she talked about him and his felonies, and she quieted it down right away. This was much better because this speaks to something substantive, which is, you know, what's your vision for the country? What do you want to do for people? And you know, always if you're forward looking as opposed to backward looking, you're going to be ahead. I mean, that was hope and change. That's what Obama's slogan, very intelligent slogan, was all about. And that's what we're not going back, we're going forward is all about. And so it was nice to hear her hit that one too. And then she talked about freedom. And I want to say a word or two about this first. Because I've been, when I was at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and when I was at the Progressive Magazine before that, I was always involved in conversations with other progressives about messaging. You know, I'm a writer. I'm a talker. I want to explain things as simply as I can to as many people as possible. I want to convince people who don't already agree with us to come over to our side. And one of the things we've been talking about for years and years is not to surrender terms like freedom to the far right. I mean, freedom isn't just, you know, I got my guns and get off my lawn. That is not the entirety of the definition of freedom. You know, I'm a big believer in freedom of speech. I'm a big believer of freedom of religion and freedom not to believe in a religion if that's the way you go. Freedom to be safe and secure in your home. Fourth Amendment freedoms, keep the government out of our bedroom. And so there are other freedoms as well, though, freedoms that go as far back as FDR's time. And what I loved about her talk about freedom was the echo of FDR. Maybe we should go to FDR first. And just so FDR twice in two very famous speeches talked about this expansive definition of freedom. That's Franklin Delano Roosevelt. In 1941, he talked about the four freedoms, which included the freedom from want. And then in January 1944, in his State of the Union speech, he talked about economic freedom. And let's just hear a little bit of that, just to set the context for Kamala Harris's freedom talk last night.
This republic at its beginning and grew to its present strength under the protection of certain inalienable political rights. Among them, the right of free speech, free press, free worship, trial by jury, freedom from unreasonable searches and seizures. They were our rights to life and liberty. We have come to a clearer realization of the fact, however, that true individual freedom cannot exist without economic security and independence. Necessitous men are not free men. People who are hungry, people who are out of a job, are the stuff of which dictatorships are made.
That was FDR back in January 1944 when we were fighting dictators around the world. And he understood back then the soil in which dictatorship grows. He understood then that freedom is not simply your own, having your own piece of land if you're rich enough to have property and your own guns if you're wanting to be a gun owner, but it's much bigger than that. And that it has a social dimension. In the same speech, he said, we cannot be content, no matter how high the general standard of living is, if some fraction of our people, whether it be one-third or one-fifth or one-tenth, is ill-fed, ill-clothed, ill-housed, and insecure. And Kamala Harris picked up on this last night, and we're going to hear a bit of that as soon as we come back from this quick break. I want you to hear the echoes of FDR in Kamala Harris's talk last night. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in for Maggie Dawn here. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. I'll be right back.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Don't you find some of their stuff to just be plain weird?
You are all weirdos.
One of my favorite albums of all time, Roy Ayers, Everybody Loves Sunshine, you know this one?
Hey, Matt Rothschild back with you on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's out on vacation this week, and I'm here with Brian Kelly. He's playing a little jazz music that Kamala Harris picked up some jazz albums at a record store recently. And
that was about a year ago, actually, yeah. Like in May.
Showing her taste, so she knows her music. I want you, the listener, if you're in your kitchen or in your office or in your car, hopefully parked, give us your view of this Kamala Harris speech from last night that I just found really extraordinary. The number to call is 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And of course you can text us at that number. Now, before the break, we heard a little bit of FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, four-time president of the United States, our wartime president, the founder of the New Deal, one of the greatest presidents in the history of this country, who talked a lot about freedom in a very expansive way. And so did Kamala Harris last night. We're going to hear about a minute and a half of what she had to say about freedom.
Take it away. And we are not going back because ours is a fight for the future. And it is a fight for freedom. Across our nation, we are witnessing a full-on assault on hard-fought, hard-won freedoms and rights. The freedom to vote. The freedom to be safe from gun violence. The freedom to live without fear of bigotry and hate. The freedom to love who you love openly and with pride. The freedom to learn and acknowledge our true and full history. And the freedom of a woman to make decisions about her own body. fight for the future and for freedom. And I don't have to tell folks in Atlanta that generations of Americans before us led the fight for freedom. And now, the baton is in our hands.
What a great riff there. Not that the baton is in her hand, but the baton is in our hands. That this is a fight for the future and a fight for freedom. The echoes of not just FDR, but Freedom Summer in the South, in the Civil Rights Movement, the freedom struggle that Martin Luther King Jr. and all the other great civil rights activists fought in the 1960s. She alluded to the great fight for freedom that was the tremendous nonviolent revolution of our day, of my lifetime anyway, which is the gay and lesbian and bisexual and queer rights, when she said the right to love, to live with who you love and love who you love. I also liked when she mentioned the right to study our true and full history, because so many people, including Trump, including DeSantis, including folks who are governing Texas, are censoring what we are able to have our kids learn in school. I mean, they are totally whitewashing, and I mean that in every sense of the word, our textbooks. And that was a fun little line to throw in there. And, of course, she mentioned a woman's right to make decisions about her own body, which is going to be one of the biggest, most important, I think most decisive issues in this big coming election. And I've got to tell you, I'm getting hopeful. I think Kamala Harris is going to be able to win this. It's going to be tight. It's going to be a struggle. As she mentioned last night, she's the underdog. We're the underdogs. But I think she's got a lot of momentum. And if she keeps up this kind of rhetoric, I think she's going to prevail. We've got.
I think she's an underdog, like the women's gymnastics team is an underdog, but that's just me.
You know what Simone Biles called them? The Golden Girls. That's what she called them.
Because they're the oldest team in the Olympics, actually.
And they're getting a lot of gold. We've got a call from Joanne in Madison. Joanne, what's on your mind?
Yes, great show. I just have one complicating factor about the possibility that Kamala could be labeled as a Marxist, as she's already been labeled by Mark Levine and others. What the complicating factor is that her estranged father is a Marxist, famous Marxist economist, Donald Harris, and the Stanford and all that. He was a Marxist economist here in Madison. The reason why I know a lot about it is he was here in Madison for 3 years. And what one of her problems is that this individual is still alive. Donald Harris is still alive. And that Donald Harris has written, had written, not recently, but a few years ago, editorials against his daughter's work as a prosecutor, saying that she was not well placed as a prosecutor and all that, didn't do the right things for her people. So this estrangement and all this, all I'm saying is that this should be open now. She should wear it on her sleeve now and not have this as an October surprise.
Well, thanks, Joanne, from Madison. And certainly the sins of the father don't fall to the daughter. And what kind of dad, I don't care how estranged are you, is going to write negative things about your offspring when they are in the public eye?
Donald Trump's father, probably. I mean, I'm seriously, like, you want to play the, okay, come at Kamala's dad. That's okay. He disagreed with her. There's still maybe father and daughter. So how did he grow up well? Did he have a good relationship with his parents? And what? Let's talk about the character of his father as well. Let's do that. You want to play tit for tat there? We can do that. That's fine.
And father and son both were slapped on the wrist by the U.S. Justice Department for having racist housing policies.
They are legally found to be racist.
In the 60s or 70s in New York City, they wouldn't rent to black people. It's not funny. It was disgusting, disgraceful. But that's who Donald Trump is, and that's who Donald Trump always has been.
And that doesn't take away from, you know, possible issues with Marxist things. I'm just saying, if anyone wants to come at it, Kamala, for her family, go ahead and look at any of the Trumps.
Oh, And also, I think this is where Bernie Sanders can come to the podium and say, look, I'm a Democratic socialist. I know Kamala Harris. She's no Democratic socialist.
Yeah. I mean, that ticket beat the socialist. That's how they won. I believe that's a quote from Joe Biden. I might even have that.
Yeah, they cleared the field so the socialist would lose last time.
Yes.
And Biden bragged about it.
Yeah, it's fun.
But I appreciate the call from Joanne from Madison, and you can join us after the quick break. We're coming to by calling 855-752-4842. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for Maggie, and I'm here with the great Brian Kelly. So please join the conversation.
Do I look like a socialist? Look at my career, my whole career. I am not a socialist. I beat the socialist. That's how I got.
Or as my friend Quavo would say, he does not walk it like he talks it.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa, hold on. Ultra Park. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it. Walk it like I talk it. Woo. Walk it like I talk it. You. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Good afternoon, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's not in today. She's off on vacation all week, and it was a pleasure being with you yesterday, and it's a pleasure being with you again today. We're talking about Kamala Harris's great talk last night in Georgia, and we'll entertain anything you want to talk about as far as who her VP pick should be. We've got a caller on the line, and you too can join the conversation by calling 855-752-4842. We've got Joe from Madison. Joe, how are you?
Good, great. Good, great show, you guys. Really interesting. I just wanted to play off some of what Joanne from Madison was bringing up previously when she was talking about the fact that Kamala Harris's father has been estranged from her, pretty much. And I wanted to go into that a little bit more because I thought that's a real interesting point. And I think that this whole discussion that has been the country is going through in terms of the childless cat women and only families with the mom, dad, and two kids count has been really illuminating. I think we can start with our nation's first family. That would be the family of George Washington, in which George never had any biological children, but he and his wife, Martha, raised her children or his stepkids. So, if you will, the first blended family was also the first family, which is kind of neat. And I think as we go forward with this, going back to Kamala Harris, the fact that she was estranged from her father, that's kind of typical for many kids growing up, particularly back then when he complained at the time that he felt like he didn't get a fair shake in family court in terms of saying that he could be very involved in the girls' lives. And I think that that was probably true when those kids were young. So the parents split up. They were in different cities. He was at Stanford, very esteemed place. Her mother was working as a research scientist in Montreal for a while. Again, a very esteemed woman doing these things. And she just didn't have close bonds with him. Now, will they connect again? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe not. But that is rather typical for a lot of people. And I think that this, what has come about is a sense of, geez, we don't all fit Ozzie and Harriet. We just don't. And that doesn't mean we don't have a huge influence on how life goes. And I wanted to just add one little example to this discussion. And that was, I remember reading that Rosa Parks was chosen to be the kind of the sacrificial lamb, if you will, in the whole civil rights movement, you know, the refusal to move from her seat because she was a childless single woman. She didn't have responsibilities at home. And the idea was that this woman, this older woman, could afford, if she had to stay in jail for a long period of time, and her children, her family would not suffer because she was a single woman. And okay, look at the effect that she had on our life and our culture. So I just think it's, I despair that J.D. Vance, in this ridiculous sense that the only way women can feel fulfilled is to raise a couple of kids and to heck with your career.
Thanks, Joe. Great points. Really, really great points. And the fact that we don't all fit Ozzie and Harriet, that, please send that telegram or that text or that fax, if you still got a fax machine, over to J.D. Vance, who is just making a total fool of himself right now. I'm thrilled to have in the studio with me a great guest, Reverend Greg Lewis. He's the executive director of Souls to the Poles, and I was honored to be at a couple demonstrations with him over the last many years where he spoke incredibly powerfully. Reverend Lewis, tell us a little bit about Souls to the Poles.
Well, you know, Souls to the Poles is a nonprofit 501c3. And we do everything concerning voting, you know, information, education. Rise to the Polls is where we got our claim to fame, was giving rise to the polls. And we also educate folks to do canvassing, phone banking, texting, all things pertaining to voting. And we do that to make sure that people understand their power. You know, because a lot of us, we just don't know the power that we possess. And we are here to let people know and to energize them, not only to understanding it, but to use it.
Now, since Kamala Harris has essentially gotten this nomination, since Biden dropped out, and thank God he did. I was hoping he would have done a long time ago. But since the announcement came that he was dropping out, and since she quickly consolidated her position as the nominee, how has that affected the enthusiasm you're seeing at the grassroots, at Souls to the Poles, for instance?
Oh, wow. I mean, enthusiasm has increased at least 60, 70, 80% because it is so refreshing to have young people get involved. And, you know, people who weren't thinking about voting before, they've gotten involved. It has really, really been a bright spot in our nation to have someone come on who can really energize a public like she's done.
It's interesting you mentioned young people. I've got three kids in their 30s, and none of them was going to vote for Joe Biden, I don't think. Maybe my daughter was, but she wasn't enthusiastic about it, and she wasn't going to call up her friends and ask her friends to do it, much less go out and register people to vote or canvass or anything like that. But she's really jazzed. So is one of my other kids, and the other one is certainly curious about what's going on. So, I mean, it's brought it from what seemed like a death march, frankly, for the Democrats to an exciting, exhilarating moment anyway, with a real possibility. And I can say it, maybe you can't because you're at a 501c3, but Kamala Harris can get us over the finish line. And, and that's what's so exciting for those of us who thought, you know, everything's at stake here and we're going down. And that's just a terrible feeling to have. It's like, you know, watching the ball just roll into the net and you got nothing to do to stop it if you're playing soccer and the other team's scoring on your goalie. So, I mean, it's a great moment. I haven't seen this kind of exhilaration in a long, long time.
Right. I mean, you know, we had an active event yesterday at MATC where lots of people came out who not just came out for a session of a press conference, but they came out to do some work.
What was the kind of work you were giving them?
Well, first of all, we had a press conference, and then it was the first day of early voting. So not only did we have a caravan of cars going to the early voting site in downtown Milwaukee, we also had folks march to the early voting site in downtown Milwaukee. And some folks marched who couldn't even vote in Milwaukee. They just wanted to be a part of it, you know, and that was amazing. But then when we got back, we came back to MATC, we started to do work on the ground. That means telephone calls were made, people were texting, people were, you know, just making sure that their neighbors and friends knew that there was an election. So those phone calls were very, very fruitful, and they were writing letters to folks. I mean, it was just amazing. And that lasted from 10 o'clock to 3 p.m., man. And that, you know, that kind of energy just was not there before. But, you know, I got to say, I liked Joe. I did. I liked him a lot. You know, I met him. I talked to him. I had a meeting with him. And
what was he like? What was he like in person? Man, I've never met him.
He was really a friendly, approachable guy. You know, he didn't forget your name. You know, he, you know, really respected your station in life, no matter where you work. You know, he as a matter of fact, he made provision for me to have a conversation with him. I didn't even know that he knew me at all, but he knew, you know, what we did here with Souls to the Polls, and he knew that I was the president of Souls to the Polls, and he wanted to meet with me. That was astonishing. So when he came and spoke, they called me to the back, and myself and four other pastors went to the back, but they let me know that, you know, you're going to be the one talking to President Biden. And he was like, from me to you, Matt. I mean, it was amazing. And he was such a friendly, nice, you know, hospitable guy.
Well, I heard he's really good one-on-one. And so I didn't mean to disparage him.
Oh, no.
But I just, but I wanted to be real. Because from a political standpoint, I mean, I'm kind of with Nancy Pelosi. He just wasn't going to be able to win.
Yeah,
and that's what concerned me.
That, that debate kind of told the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I don't know what his mind is doing. You know, I don't know if he's still sharp or not, but from the look of that debate, it looked like he was vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Let me put it to you like that. But, you know, on the other hand, the other guy didn't do too well to me either. I mean, he didn't answer any questions, and when he did, it wasn't the truth. I mean, you just have to make a choice, and I don't even want to say what I thought about that.
I mean, that other guy, the other guy's still with
him. That other guy, yeah. I mean, I liked what happened. You know, I liked what happened in Atlanta yesterday.
Kamala seems she gave a great talk.
Yeah, she seems to be quite personable. I mean, he has an opponent now, let me tell you that. And he doesn't want to debate her, so he's not completely crazy. He doesn't want to debate her.
Because right, he knows,
yeah,
you know, she's
she'll probably clean his clock.
Right.
But, you know, one thing that occurred to me is that she was so in tune with her audience. You know, I liked it when she said, you know, Donald Trump has said a lot about me, but you know the old saying, if you want to talk about me, come and talk to me to my face.
Got something to say, say it to my face.
It was just great, and the crowd ate it up.
Yeah, that was an amazing line. It really was. I was just... I every time I heard it last night, you know, CNN, MSNBC, you know, back and forth, every time I heard it, I just really smiled very, very hard.
Yeah, I was listening to the whole speech this morning on C-SPAN online. And if you're listening to our radio show here on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'm speaking with the Reverend Greg Lewis, President, Executive Director, Souls of the Polls, and I'm Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie. You can look it up on C-SPAN and listen to the whole thing yourself. It's quite a great speech. But, yeah, she's bringing some real energy, some joy. That's the thing that I've been missing. I mean, there's real hope. There's real joy. There's real pleasure. There's fun in politics
it's,
now.
It's pure energy, Matt. I'm telling you, it really is. I don't know what's going on, but it is pure energy. And, you know, it has energized us all. As much as we loved Biden, you know, this change has really made a huge difference. And, you know, I'm nonpartisan, but, you know, I can say I'd like to see a good fight.
Well, I used to be nonpartisan for 40 years. I was at nonprofits, and I couldn't say actually what was in my mind, but now I can. And I just am thrilled to death that Kamala Harris is the nominee. It would be a disaster for this country if Donald Trump won the election. It's imperative that Kamala Harris win, and I want, you know, all my friends and neighbors to vote for her. You mentioned the importance of just as far as registering people to vote and getting people to the polls, the importance of talking to friends and neighbors. And I think that's really crucial.
Yeah, it's crucial because, you know, we have a couple of initiatives with our Souls Through the Polls. And one of them is tripling your vote. That means when you go to the polls, take two or three people with you. Mm. And the other one is the postcard program that we're doing with the Family Workers Party, where we're having, you know, you go into your phone and you do these postcard requests for people to go to the polls. So, man, it's a groundswell of information that we can provide to our neighbors and friends.
Yeah, all that's important. Each person brings two or three other friends, family members, neighbors. That's crucial. We'll be right back with Reverend Greg Lewis of Souls to the Polls here on the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa, hold on. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it. Woo. Walk it like I talk it.
You.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Woo.
Walk it like I talk it.
Hey.
Walk it like I talk it.
Walk it.
Walk it like I talk it.
Walk it.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Woo.
Walk it like I talk it.
Talk it.
Walk it like I talk it.
Hey.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it.
America has tried these failed policies before.
Did it work? Anyone? Anyone know the effects? It did not work.
We are not going back.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here. Good afternoon. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's on vacation this week, and I've been delighted to be able to be here yesterday and today, and I'll be here again tomorrow. And I appreciate your participation, too. If you want to call 855-752-4842, that's 855-752-4842, or 855-75-CIVIC, because, of course, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network all across this great state of Wisconsin. My guest right now is the Reverend Greg Lewis, Executive Director of Souls to the Polls, this great organization in the Milwaukee area that gets people to the polls, helps get them registered to the polls, drives them to the polls on election day. And you mentioned that yesterday was the first day that people could vote in this August election. The election itself is on August 13th, and you still have same-day voter registration here in Wisconsin. So make sure, if you haven't voted by then, to show up at the polls on August the 13th with your driver's license or a passport or a ID that you can get over at the Wisconsin DMV.
A photo ID.
Yeah. There are a few upcoming deadlines between now and August 13th. I just wanted to mention August 8th is the deadline to request an absentee ballot. I got my absentee ballot already. August 9th is the deadline to request an absentee ballot if you're indefinitely confined and member of the military. And August 9th also is the deadline to register at your clerk's office ahead of time if you want to do that. But you can always do same-day voter registration. It's one of the great progressive reforms the state of Wisconsin has had in place for a long, long time. I'm surprised Robin Voss didn't take that off the books, but I'm glad he didn't. But make sure, whatever you do, that you vote in this election. And Greg Lewis, one of the things that's important in my mind, I wanted to get your take on it too, was the amendments that are on the ballot. These amendments about tying the governor's hand on getting federal funding.
You mean those amendments that we can't understand when we read them?
Absolutely.
Those amendments that confuse you to no end, those amendments that are meant to do that to you, we just ask people to just say no.
Yeah, these are two constitutional amendments the gerrymandered Republican legislature passed in two consecutive sessions. That's the rule. That's how you get on the ballot. And, of course, they had rigged the map so much that they'd have control of the legislature so that they could pass these in two consecutive sessions. And they're crafty and deceitful enough to word these in such a way as, number one, you can't understand what they're talking about. Number two, to the extent that you can understand what the amendment's about, they seem kind of, okay, I guess that kind of makes sense. I'll vote yes. Don't be fooled by them. Vote no on both
right.
of these
no.
amendments.
No, 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 yes. Because what it does, it really takes away more power from the governor, and we have to deal with a legislative body that is always playing games with the people. And, you know, Matt, you know just as well as I do, you know, this game playing, I don't know why people continue to let folks just do things to them this way, Matt. I mean, we have to stop voting against our own self-interest, Matt. You need to vote for folks who are going to be working for you, who are going to do things for you. You know, you can't continue to, you know, just give your allegiance to folks who are not doing anything that would cause you to do anything better in your life. That is just, you know.
Yeah,
I don't even understand that at all, Matt. I really.
Well, the voting against your self-interest is such a, it's been such a problem in this country and in the state for a while. And then specifically on these amendments, what they do, they would take the power of the governor to distribute federal funds, your tax dollars to the federal government that are passed back to him, take that power out of his hands in cases of, you know, there's a huge tornado and a whole town's been destroyed, or there are floods all over Wisconsin, we get federal funding, or a settlement against, you know, tobacco companies or other drug companies that have been ripping people off comes to the federal, from the federal government to the governor. Why shouldn't he be able to distribute that money? Governor of Wisconsin has been able to distribute that money for 90 years. And all of a sudden, the Republicans are worried here that, you know, they want to grab all the power they can while they still have it with these gerrymandered maps. So they write these ridiculous amendments that give them more power. It's really cynical.
Yeah, I call it scorched earth politics. Well, you'll destroy anything. You'll just burn up anything just to stay in power. No, you're not there just to stay in power. You're there to look out for our interests.
Exactly.
And, you know, if there's a housing plan that needs to be discussed and put into place, you know, that would be left up only to our legislative body. The governor couldn't have a say-so about it. Daycare, that would be left up to our legislative body. And they take too long to make decisions.
Oh, you got that right. They've been sitting on, you know, a $2 billion surplus. They're sitting on $100 million that the government, federal government has passed.
There you go.
And they're $100 million, according to someone I just heard on Civic Media earlier today. And, you know, they're going to sit on any money that comes from the federal government until they develop a rash from sitting on it for so long, I think. Tell me, Greg Lewis, in the 2 minutes we got left, how worried are you about voter suppression?
We always have to worry about voter suppression. I mean, that is always going to be an obstacle for people of color, people who have poverty needs, people who are in rural areas, people who really aren't getting their fair share. You always got to worry about that because those other people want to stay in power. So it's a big deal. But you know what? We can't worry about it. Matt, we got to keep it moving, and we fight that suppression when it faces us. There were 62 obstacles in our way to vote last year. Now we've come up with another 11, so now it's 73. So this is something that's not going to stop. We just have to continue to stand up and fight.
And they've been pretty blunt about their voters.
They're not hiding it anymore.
They're bragging about it,
yeah,
but they can't get away with it. And one way to counter it is just to turn out in enormous numbers.
Got to turn out. Got to turn out. Turn up and turn out.
And Wisconsin used to have the highest turnout in the country. Let's see if we can get that number one.
Let's do it.
spot again. Reverend Greg Lewis, thanks so much for being my guest on Souls to the Polls. From Souls to the Polls, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to see you again.
Glad to be here, man. You can't retire.
Oh, I did once. I'll do it again.
Well, Donald.
Are you talking to me?